Rhode Island is currently involved in a project that is drawing national attention and is on the cutting edge of planning future uses of the ocean. It is the Ocean Special Area Management Plan, or Ocean SAMP, which is employing research by the top scientists in the country at the University of Rhode Island to identify priority uses, such as commercial fisheries and marine transportation, as well as possible wind energy projects for these waters. It is first and foremost an ecosystem-based approach to planning that will identify the best possible use of Rhode Island's nearshore ocean waters while protecting those areas of special value and importance. The Ocean SAMP report is in the process of being written and includes chapters dealing with a comprehensive list of focus areas. The chapter we will discuss focuses on the fisheries of the SAMP region. Dave Butel, a former commercial fisherman who is one of the co-authors of the chapter and a fisheries expert, answers some questions about the variety of issue areas that this topic entails. Dave, I think everyone realizes the importance of fisheries in regard to the Ocean SAMP project. What areas are of most concern to the fishermen?
Fisheries are really important to the Ocean SAMP project. The area of most concern for the fishing industry was geographic. And right from the start of this project, when the fishermen first saw the area mapped out, they clearly said, we use the entire area. All of it has active fisheries. The other concerns are, because they use the whole area, any project that is developed in the area will minimize or prevent their fishing access to the areas that are developed. And one of the things to realize in the whole process is that fisheries are dynamic. And what I mean by that is that fishing occurs in different areas, on different days, different weeks, different seasons. They're moving all of the time following the fish. For example, the fixed gear, which when I say fixed gear, I mean gill nets or lobster pots, they follow the migrations of the fish. So where they are in any given week will be different in the next week. Same thing for the season, same thing for the year, and each year does not follow the same pattern. So when I say fisheries are dynamic, they are also complex. The bottom trawl industry, which is a mobile gear, is limited in a different way in that they can only pull their nets where the bottom is suitable for towing without them hanging up and where there are fish. So they follow the fish in a slightly different manner in that it's always on ground where they can tow their gear.
What kind of specifics do the fishermen get into that the average person might not think about, but is a topic of concern to those in the industry?
The fishermen have a really different outlook on the area of the SAMP, and some of the things they worry about besides the lack of access are how would development affect spawning habitat or juvenile fish habitat? How would it affect migration patterns? What about the noise of construction for any project or the noise of operation? Particularly for a wind energy project, what about the cable line and the electromagnetic field that it will create? And that electromagnetic field could have effects on some of the first things I mentioned, the migration patterns and the juvenile habitat. And while we've looked at a bunch of studies, there are not a whole lot of studies addressing electromagnetic fields, and in particular, crustaceans or lobsters. So the fishermen really have some very specific concerns on developing wind energy in the SAMP area.
How did you select the priority fishery species that are included in the chapter?
The fish species that are included in the chapter were selected in two ways. For the commercial species, we looked at the National Marine Fisheries Service landing data for the last 10 years. And we compiled a list of the top 20 species landed for each of those 10 years. And the fish that we chose to address in the chapter were listed in at least 5 of those 10 years as a top 20 species. The recreational fish that we addressed were chosen from the National Marine Fisheries Service fisheries economics data, and we compared those fish to the Rhode Island Saltwater Anglers tournament schedule, or their fish that receive prizes for the biggest fish. And we vetted that with the Rhode Island Party and Charter Boat Association to make sure that these were the primary recreationally caught fish.
What about the fish that currently aren't being targeted by fishing efforts?
There are a lot of fish that aren't targeted by fishing efforts, and really they don't belong exactly in the fisheries chapter. They belong a little bit more in the ecology chapter. However, because fisheries do capture some of those fish, we mention the threatened species and species of concern.
What kind of information existed on the fisheries habitat in the Ocean Samp area when the project began? Does the Ocean Samp area have any special characteristics that make it more of a challenge to define?
The information on the fisheries habitat in this area really came from the NOAA charts, which clearly have bottom type and depth contours, but are limited in their scope. The Ocean Samp team has done some extensive mapping of the area, but as always, it's dollar limited and more mapping is needed to get a thorough picture. One of the difficulties in mapping this area is the bottom types are quite varied, from mud to sand to gravel to boulder fields to ledge, because this is an area where in the last glaciation we had end moraines, so we have all kinds of different bottom habitat to map and determine the value of.
How might structures such as the wind energy turbines proposed for the area impact recreational fishing?
The structures can impact recreational fishing in a couple of manners. The beneficial manner is once the structures are created, there is a reef effect of structure that's in the water, new structure, because it attracts biofouling or not really fouling, but biological growth, which then aggregates fish around those structures. So it can, in effect, enhance the fisheries, particularly recreational fisheries, around structures like that. The negative effect for the recreational fishing really would only occur during the construction of the turbines, but after that, it should only be benefits.
How did you accumulate all the information for this chapter? Who did you consult with for advice and input?
We consulted a lot of people for the input and information for this chapter. From the fishing industry, where we created the maps and the usage patterns and worked on fisheries policies, we worked with the Rhode Island Lobstermen's Association, the Rhode Island Monk Fishermen's Association, the Rhode Island Commercial Fishermen's Association, the Eastern New England Scallop Association, the Rhode Island Fishermen's Alliance, and the Rhode Island Party and Charter Boat Association, plus unaffiliated fishermen. We also worked with 2 major recreational groups, the Rhode Island Saltwater Anglers Association and the Narragansett Pier Sport Fishing Association. We had numerous meetings with all of these folks, and they mapped out their usages of the SAMP area in both area and time. The additional information in the chapter about species and policies and regulations came from a variety of other groups, some of them governmental, and they include Department of Environmental Management, Division of Fish and Wildlife, the National Marine Fisheries Service, both the Northeast Regional Office and the Northeast Fisheries Science Center, the New England Fishery Management Council, and the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. Plus, we worked with some NGOs or non-governmental organizations, and they include, and I hope I don't miss anybody, but Save the Bay, Conservation Law Foundation, the Nature Conservancy, the Audubon Society, and the Ocean Conservancy.
Are you fairly comfortable that all voices are being heard and that the outcomes will be a good consensus when we finally look at it?
The SAM process, because it's a stakeholder process, really allows for all of the stakeholders to participate and be heard throughout the development of the plan. While that doesn't mean we all agree, it does mean that everyone gets to participate and their concerns are addressed. The fishermen, as we've stated earlier, have many concerns, and it's been very enlightening to work very closely with them in developing this chapter.
Thanks, Dave. This podcast and other information about the Ocean SAMP project are available on the Ocean SAMP website at cgrant.gso.uri.edu/OceanSAMP. Future podcasts of other chapters will be added to the site as they are sent on to the CRMC for comments and preliminary approval.